and your life.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman. All right. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to have David pray us in, and then we're going to get started. So let's go.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless every single person here present today and those watching us through the internet, wherever they are, sir. Dear Jesus, please bless them. And anoint Pastor Sandy and use him for your work today, dear Lord.
Hallelujah.
May everyone in watching and tuning in right now at this moment be touched by your word. Anoint Pastor Sandy so that he may deliver the message that is meant to be delivered today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Good prayer. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Ben, I'm going to get through what I call Christmas Wednesday, because this is when all the cards come in. I want to first talk about Karen Bland. She's got a church going over there, and she got all the kids. She must be handed. Look, she got a copy of everybody's offering. Little Tia gave $3. Sterling gave $3. Sabrina gave $3. Little Chris gave $3. She like over there have a church. Yeah, so it's a list of everybody who gave money to the ministry. So that's a serious collection basket. Look at all of that. Well, it's good to teach young, I guess. And I know I guess. So here we are. And then she also sent, look at this, Pastor Ben.
Amen. Beautiful.
And the rich get richer.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. I'll share with you, Pastor Ben. Let me set all of this aside. We're going to get through this as fast as possible. And here is Terry Appleton's card. And Pastor Sandy's got the perfect. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my glasses on, Pastor Ben.
That'll work.
Right. I'm not going to read all these cards, but I am going to acknowledge you sent them. We'll read them tomorrow during class, Pastor Ben, or before class. This is from Terry Appleton. Even though you've mostly been in the background. Oh, this is your card, Pastor Ben. This is your last week's card. When you must be holding on to this. See, Terry, you just sent him such a nice card. He's holding on to it. Keeping it in his pocket, putting it up there so I can read it again. Read again how great I am. All right. And then we got from Canada, Alan. He said from he lives in Laval, Quebec, Canada, in Quebec. I was in Montreal. Montreal's quite a bit away from Quebec City, but I don't know. Oh, Laval is not that far, I don't think. Anyway. Thank you, Alan. And he sent us the maple syrup and the maple syrup candy.
Amen.
And so I got to fight that. But not the syrup. That's that good syrup from Canada.
Good stuff.
You know, the lumberjacks up there, they know how to eat pancakes. This is true.
It's true?
Yeah. You know, Royal Mounties, all that stuff is up there. You got it. Okay. And this is from... It's a great card. I love it. This is from Burton. Yeah, Chris Burton and Neil Burton. And hello, Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, and all of S4C. Many thanks for your card we received a few months ago. Sorry it's taken so long to get in touch. It doesn't mean we haven't forgot about you. They watch and say. Three shows a week. They're still watching. Could you please keep praying for Neil? Myself would have that breakthrough, and we engage with our family and as we engage with our family and friends. So pray for Neil and Chris Burton and Pastor Ben.
Amen.
And that's our. We're the dog watch.
Yeah,
we are a nonprofit church.
Amen.
We are watchmen only.
Amen.
Yep. Nah. No prophets. I wish we were. I wish we were prophets, didn't we? just happened. Okay. So, and this is from Tracy and Mickey. And check out that card. I'm going to read these in the morning, Pastor Ben, when we come to Hebrew class. But I want to acknowledge who sent them. And Lewis Green and his beautiful wife. And so we'll make sure we read that tomorrow. Your ministry makes a difference card. I like that. Okay. Yep, Lewis and Don Green. I talked to them on the phone. I like to talk to more people on the phone. This is Valita, our sister from Indiana.
Oh, yeah. And prayer
was she? Okay. And then we'll read all of these tomorrow. This is from Francis in Tennessee. I thank God for your anniversary, your unwavering commitment to preach the gospel, the rapture. May the grace of God cover you and yours. And that's from Dale and Francis. Did Francis call me this week? No, that was another Francis in Texas. And this is our family that we baptized, Pastor Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Put that close up there.
Isn't that a beautiful
family? Yeah, that was, you started something. Now I'm baptizing by the phone.
Yeah, I got the ball rolling.
Yep. And I love this. I love when people do this because they go, just in case we don't make it there. Christmas card.
Amen.
Okay. Rapture ticket. Look at that.
Is that beautiful?
See that? That's a rapture ticket. I'm holding on to this. This is mine.
Sure,
you got to
sure.
get your own. And that's a long letter, so I'm not going to read that now.
She sent me one too, Pastor Ben.
This is from Elaine Nguyen. So thank you, Elaine.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Too.
That's kind of cool.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass it on to you.
Okay. Make sure I get that back, Pastor Ben. Okay. And I think, wait a minute. Tracy Mackey. Okay, yeah, that's it. That's it for right now. And then we're going to get started with this Bible study. No, I didn't show the syrup and the candy. I don't want to make anybody hungry. But
she said a case.
She did?
A case.
A syrup too?
Two cases.
I love this picture of the Brown family. This is going to look good on my family, on my fireplace.
Two cases. One of syrup and one of the lollipops.
I'll take the syrup. You take the lollipops. All right. That's the Canada one, right? Yeah, I take the syrup. Okay, here we are. And we are ready to get started. I am going to make sure that I have my markers in case I need them. You guys got copies? Perfect. Okay. I'm just going to review kind of what we talked about on Sunday, and then we're going to get further into what's going on now, because I get a lot of emails about the newest updates on the coronavirus vaccines and all of this stuff. I really like listening to the doctors who are investigating the company that's making it. Those are really interesting because the doctors really tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And if a doctor who's been a doctor for that long is telling me don't take it, I'm going to take her word for it. So, but they keep saying they'll be ready when? December. That's awesome. That is awesome. The Lord was showing me, like, if I got to talk to you guys about that. If you already knew, you know what I mean? If you already knew, like, say, for example, you were coming out of Egypt with the Hebrews, and you had already read the book, what's going to happen when you get to the Red Sea. Now, you would be the only one at the Red Sea going, oh, yeah, the Red Sea. This is where it happens, man. Everybody else would be scared, right? because they haven't read the book. But if you read the book, you'd be like, yeah, this is what's about to happen, man. I'm so glad we finally got here, you know? You would be very happy because you already know the book. And so I don't understand Christians, like, we already have the book of Revelation. We already know what's going to happen. And like, we're at the edge of this. Everybody should be getting excited. Like, we're about to get up out of, we're about to escape. Because look, God has, we either go to jail for not taking a vaccine, okay? Because I'm going to jail. And I think the whole family's going to jail, right? And if God is like, oh, I'm gonna let you, my bride, get kind of beat up a little bit before the rapture, right? So either something's gonna happen where it get held off and it can't go through, and God gives us more time, or if they're trying to push it, then all they're doing is pushing God to the limit, and he's saying, okay, I'm taking my bride then. So I am very happy to be standing at the edge of the Red Sea. I am very happy because I can see that God is either going to have to rescue or allow these people to do what they want, and they're not going to be able to do what they want. To review Sunday just a little bit, we talked about the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. The most important thing in that book that I thought was very important, other than we're fighting against spiritual beings, and was that the other thing that we're fighting against is powers. And that Greek word meant the power of choice and liberty to do what one pleases. Isn't free will dangerous?
Yeah.
Free will is dangerous. I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's crazy. It's like, no matter how big a Christian you are, when you get up, you can basically do whatever you want. You know, you got a free will. You can either live for God or you can live, you know, crazy. So, but he says, one of the things we're fighting against is the liberty to do as one pleases. And, okay, then the origin of sin, we find out that that comes from Nephilim. There's Nephilim in the world right now. And we didn't talk about this that much, but in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, it says, as you saw iron mixed with clay, they will mingle with the seeds of men, but they will not adhere to one another. Just as iron does not mix with clay, and it says they will not mix with the seeds of men. So if you read Daniel chapter 2, it's talking about what's going to be happening at the very end of time, okay? Daniel chapter 2 is not like a coming future of that was soon. He was talking about the very end of time, at the last, when we see the last world power, he says they will mingle themselves with the seeds of men. Now, we know that we're the seeds of men, but who are those that are going to mingle themselves with us? They're here. And I mean, I was talking to my sons today. It was like, LeBron's not a Nephilim. I said, I don't trust him. I said, I don't mind the Lakers winning, but I'd hate that they're winning with him. But I'm telling you, I don't trust none of them. And you know, when you're best friends with Obama and the Clintons, my whole thing is like, dude, I'm not rooting for you no more, okay? So that mingling is here. If you want to do studies about the cloning that's being done, and the gene mixing that's being done, all of this stuff is happening. So, and we're just here. And we're kind of gullible about the whole thing because nobody wants to accuse anybody of being a Nephilim. But if your habits show that you are, then you are. Okay, because humans don't do some of the things they do. And of course, we talked about Larry Sinclair, the limo driver, and Obama, because Obama's coming back on the scene. Now he's starting to be... They think, like, since Biden won, now they're trying to push Obama back into the forefront as a, you know, but I'll never forget about the choir director who said he was dating them that ended up with a bullet in the back of his head, and two other friends of his that ended up assassinated. I'll never forget that, and I'll never forget the email that said $65,000 worth of hot dogs are delivered for the party. And the Clinton Chronicles, if you had never watched the Clinton Chronicles, and you want a good movie you could cry to, that is, the Clinton Chronicles is crazy. I mean, what the Clintons did in Arkansas and getting the whole crack epidemic going in America was absolutely crazy. So, but that all of that happened, but these people were ruling in the United States for, you know, I mean, president after president after president was a part of this whole wicked thing. So, to get a break from them with Trump, rather if he was acting, man, he's wasted his time, because I'm telling you, he sure appeared to be very agitated with the way they were treating him. And then, of course, the Biden touching little girls compilations, 1.5 million people have seen that video, and he still gets elected president. You know what I mean? And it's just a compilation of all the little girls that have been close to him that he found himself accidentally touching their breasts or something. And it's like, yet he still becomes president, you know? And it's not like hidden. There's more than one of those tapes on YouTube. So I'm just saying, if he got voted president November 4th and in 40 days of if flooding started then, that was definitely a flood. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Have you noticed no crazy things have been going on since the election?
No Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, no Black Lives Matter party. Nobody's burning up anything. You know, no tornadoes. No. Nothing. Everything's just calm down. Mm-hmm. If you're not living in Israel, it's kind of calm now. Yeah. Well, they figure they're back in, so they can shut it all down now. But
no bricks on the corner.
Mm-mm. It's crazy. So I want us to get started in our Bible study today. And we're going to be started in the book of John chapter 10. So let's go to the Gospel of John. And we're going to be in chapter 10. Some amazing stuff today that the Lord was showing me. Okay, let's start at verse 22. And it says, then came the feast of dedication. What's the feast of dedication, you guys? And it was winter. What's the feast of dedication? You know what the feast of dedication is? Hanukkah. Okay, that's what Enoch means. Okay, so the feast of dedication is Hanukkah. And so here is Jesus, and the Bible in chapter 10 wants to make this very important point that Jesus comes into the town, and he comes on Hanukkah. You understand? And he says this, and they said, and it was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So here, Jesus is saying, I call my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow me out. If you read the beginning of this chapter, he says, I lead them out, and they follow me out. So when we hear the voice of the shepherd, his sheep will hear his voice and follow him out. Remember that video we had with the sheep farmer? He had this other guy calling sheep, and he like, hey, sheep, come over here, come over here, come over here. And they just sitting like, and then he said, but they're my sheep. Now watch this. And he said, over here. And they all heard his voice, and they just all start coming. And God and Jesus was taking from that example that sheep know the voice of who their master is, right? Or who their shepherd is. And it says they will follow it. We will follow him. So when we hear the voice, we're going. Now that this happens during the time of Hanukkah is kind of strange because of my 17th of Heshvan, and then exactly 40 days later being the day that they got to confirm the new president of the United States, and it being the fourth day of Hanukkah. And so there's another Jewish guy on there. He has a whole tape about, I don't get into the stars and all this stuff, but he has a whole tape about how he believes that the rapture is going to happen in December, and he thinks anytime between the first 8 days of Hanukkah. He thinks the 16th and 17th, but he also believes that it's going to be a Hanukkah rapture. And like I say, what are we, right? What watchmen? We're not prophets. But that was the first time somebody had explained these stars and moons and all this stuff. And he talked about the second sign of Revelation chapter 12. And he really got into that. Like there's something that happened after the Revelation 12, then something else happened. And then he said the anniversary of that 3 years is coming up in December 16th. So there is reason to be excited about the rapture. And the big reason for me to be excited about the rapture is the fact that we are in so much trouble. If Christians don't understand, I mean, I love us because it's like we love Jesus, and we're like, you ain't gonna do nothing to me, you know. It's like my little brothers when you follow me, they just walk around talking trash to people, right? Because they knew I was behind them. But in this case, the church, I think a lot of us know that we're at the brink of a whole lot of trouble. Getting those people back into office is big trouble. You know what I mean? All the little children that have been rescued. Did you hear what I read on Sunday? They started off taking care of 3,000 kids. And then before Trump can get out of office, they have 35,000 children that they've assisted in escaping and assisting in helping them get back into society and psychological care and all of that stuff. All of this, so you go from 3,000 to 35,000 in, I mean, 3,500, no, 3,000 to 35,000 in less than 4 years. Yeah. Means that there was a lot of, and there was a, if you would go down the list of all of the pedophiles that have been arrested since Trump came in, you would go, wow, this is absolutely crazy. But that will cease. Now that we're getting one of them back in office, that whole thing, because he's not pledging war against pedophiles. So that will cease, and you got them back in office. And now the whole thing with, we'll talk about that. And I think I talked about it on Sunday. The whole thing of how to destroy people is not war. The whole thing of how to destroy human beings is not disease, is not starvation. Are they going to do all three? Yeah, in tribulation, they're going to do all three. But the fastest way to destroy humans, because see, if a human dies, their soul and their DNA is still intact. You die, you're a Christian, your soul and your DNA is still intact. So who is this this vaccine is against who? The Christians. They want to destroy the child before we get birthed out of here. So if they can bring this thing about fast enough and they say every American has to take it, now you've got the church in a very stressful situation and the bride is now very stressful. And so this is why I'm excited about it. And I can't, you know, I'm trying to get other people like, we read the book. We know what's about to happen. This is awesome. You know, it's like we should be the one nuts standing on the shore going, yes. So, I mean, I'm just excited about it. So I wanted to check out something. You look at this on your notes, okay?
Page 2?
Yeah, page 2 on your notes. The Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit is a numerical value of 710. That's in the Greek, okay? In the Hebrew, the dove is a numerical value of 71. We went through this in Hebrew school. It's kind of hard to explain, but not very. See, the dove is 71 in Hebrew. So when God wants to really show you what something is, he times the number by 10, and he shows you what it really is, okay? So if you look at dove, it's 71 in Hebrew, but in Greek, the Holy Spirit is 710. So to clarify who the dove was is the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is what God does. And then if you do this, you could do this with a number of things in Scripture. And you go, that's crazy. Like the pillars is what? 120 in Hebrew. But in Greek, it's 1,200. 1,200, right? So God just... So when you get to the New Testament, the pillars that's written in the Greek, which God says is the church, is 10 times what it is in the Hebrew. So when God wants to clarify something, he just times it by 10 and he puts it into the Greek. And then you might say Passover here, and the numerical value may be this, but it's going to be 10 times. It'll be Jesus Christ. And then you'll realize Jesus Christ is your Passover. And then it'll times 10. You know what I mean? So this is out. And it's consistent. So the more you're studying, you're going, who wrote this book, right? So I was looking at the Holy Spirit, and I was wondering, and if you see here on the top side where it says 710, on this side it says the Holy Spirit is a numerical value of 17. But the golden candlesticks, that's in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, which said, let's read it here for the, and it said unto me, what do you see? And he said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereupon, seven pipes, seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. So he's asking Zechariah, and Zechariah sees a menorah candle, and he sees seven candles being lit. And God is explaining to him about the coming of this new way of salvation and grace, right? And he's letting him see the seven golden candlesticks, right? Because you're going to see those same seven golden candlesticks when you get to the book of Revelation, okay? But it's under the same numerical value as the Holy Spirit because of what reason? Who delivers the candlesticks to the kingdom? The Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be doing the job. Then it has all these other, the joy, those that were baptized. If you're baptized, you become what? Sons of the living God. You become the sons of God. Those who are baptized. So all of that is kind of like it links everything so that you know that the Bible has an author and he's talking about the same things. Now, I did this, and the reason I did this was because I wanted to know this very one question from God. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here it is. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brother, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until a departure occurs. That's the word that apostasia in Greek, it just means departure. So he said that day will not come until a departure occurs. Then and even the son of and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the departure must come, and after that, the lawless one will be revealed. The man who is doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. So it says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Now, the thing that says in verse 6, and now you know what is holding him back. That what's holding him back is a Greek word that means a restrainer, someone who's keeping back evil, holding something from coming forth, keeping something from coming forth. Okay. Now, I ask myself, I wonder, what's the numerical value of that word in the Greek? So I looked up the word, and it's katekō. Okay. And it has a numerical value of what? 1,726. So then I said, well, I wonder if the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God has that same numerical value, because we know who's holding him back is the Spirit of God, right? So I look it up, and it jumps out immediately. The numerical value for the Spirit is 1,726. Then I go, wait a minute. I looked at the other chart and I said, up here it says the Holy Spirit is 710. So why is it saying this spirit is 1,726? Well, it doesn't mean a singular spirit. The Holy Spirit is one. But they added an S. They made this plural. So that means when the restrainer is taken out of the way, many spirits are taken up. You understand? So when it talks about the restrainer being removed, he doesn't just remove one spirit. It says, it uses a word that doubles the value of the word, because there's more than one spirit exiting the world at that time. And so God, in his wisdom, wanted you to know, yeah, the Holy Spirit is one, and he is the restrainer. But when he leaves, he's taking many. Mm. And so he puts that Greek word, he doesn't put it in a singular, he doesn't make the value of it in singular, he makes the value of it in a plural, so that it's matched to the restrainer. So it's like God is always talking to us about the fact that the church is leaving before the Antichrist comes. And if Christians don't understand that, they'll get stressed out in this situation that we're in, because it appears that the world has gone crazy. And they're not trying to calm it down. They're trying to push it forward Because like the guy said in Japan, they told him, I told you guys this months ago, coronavirus, when everybody's getting excited, the restaurants are opening back up. I said, my friend in Japan said, nothing's going to calm down, they say, until they get a one world republic. They want a one world government, and they're using coronavirus to get them there. And so now, as Christians, you can't take a vaccine right now. Spiritually, you can't take a vaccine right now. And I know there'll be many Christians that would take it, but I think the solution to the whole thing is the rapture. Because once you take it, if I believe what the doctors are saying, and what they say is in the vaccine is in the vaccine, then you nullify your opportunity for resurrection as soon as you take the vaccine. Because as soon as you take the vaccine, you don't understand replication. You don't understand DNA replication. So you don't understand that it's going to split into your DNA, and you're going to start being part this, part that immediately. Will people start dying? I don't know, because if people start dying, people will go, okay, something's wrong here, right? But when if a million people take it and say, I took it and I've been fine, right? But they don't know what's going on inside of them. You understand? But God knows immediately what's going on inside you. That's why God said, if anybody takes the mark, they have no part with me, right? Because God knows what's going on inside. This is why in 2013, I stood right over there at the time and I said, I watched today a 4-hour lecture from MIT on recombinant DNA technology. And I said, it's the scariest thing in the world. That is the scariest thing in the world. And look what in the 4-hour thing, they said, the best place to activate the foreign DNA is in the hand or the forehead. And I went, wind that back. I was like, wait a minute. No, they wouldn't just say that. It's on YouTube. You can watch it and say, it's from MIT. I forget the name of the professor, but I'll find it. And I'm like, so they said, but if we do it, it says the DNA will continue to replicate and replicate until it not dominates you, but that it splits you in half. For us, we can't take it. I'm not going to sacrifice eternal life, you know? But some jobs are saying, if you don't take it, you can't come back to work. So what do we do? Like I said Sunday, we're at the edge of the Red Sea. Yes. And if you've been here and if you read the book, it's time to get excited because you're about to see something incredible, okay? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. That's crazy. Okay, Revelation chapter 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. It says, write therefore what you have seen and what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in your right hand and the 7 golden lampstand is this. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. You see that? What does he show Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 2? 7 golden lampstands, right? And he's explaining to him the prophecy of these 7 golden lampstands, okay? Now, when we see that these 7 golden lampstands are now being mentioned in the book of Revelation, and God making it clear These seven lampstands are the seven churches. We did this study before, but you have to understand the difference between a lampstand and a light. You understand? If you are a fire within yourself, you don't need a lampstand anymore. You are now a lamp. You understand? And it was, I remember the message.
I remember it too.
And I, if you need the notes, I'll give them to you. But once we get into the kingdom, we no longer need to be lampstands. You are now a lamp. You are light. You will shine before in the sun, in the kingdom of God as lights. Okay? So when we get to Revelation chapter 4, and we've gone through all of the churches, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Sardis. We've gone through all the seven churches. And then we get to the scripture, and it says, after this, I looked, before me was a door standing in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. What's that? After the churches. I'm going to show you what's going to take place after the churches. So now he says, I'm going to show you what takes place after this. At once, John says, I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald, encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns. Crowns of gold on their head. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Okay? From the throne was flashes of lightning and rumblings of pearls and thunder, and before the throne were seven lamps. So now you got seven lamps, and they're standing in heaven. But before the lamps are standing in heaven, someone sounding like a trumpet said, come up here. And when he gets up there, standing on this lamp, these seven lamps are standing, but listen where they're standing. Before the throne, seven lamps were standing, and it says, these are the seven spirits of God. Why does it say it's the seven spirits of God? Churches. Because the Holy Spirit is living in the church. This is the whole purpose of showing you this chart, that the candlesticks and the Holy Spirit are linked. The joy is linked to the seven churches. Those who were baptized is linked to the seven churches. The fullness of Christ is linked to the seven churches. That's the Holy Spirit. The dove, because the scripture says the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Godhead was living inside of Christ. That's in Colossians. So the praise and the spirit of wisdom, all of this is inside of Christ. And these are not numbers for Christ. These are numbers for the Holy Spirit. So here we go. And now it says, these are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass clear as crystal. So now you don't just see the sea of glass here. You're going to see the sea of glass one more time. Guess when you see the sea of glass again? At the end of the tribulation. And those that are standing on the sea of glass in Revelation chapter 15, it says those standing on the sea of glass there, those that have come out of the great tribulation, they did not take the mark. Now they sing in the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. But it says they came out of the great tribulation, and it says what? They're standing on a sea of glass, but it's mixed with fire. So they've come out of troubled times. But there's another sea of glass here in Revelation chapter 4 where they're just standing on a sea of glass and it's clear as crystal, at peace. This is is deeply embedded in the word of God, that the bride is rescued. She is at peace. She has come out of the world. She is at peace. There is a group of people that's coming out of the world that are coming through fire. And so we have this complete diversity of two different people that are coming out of the world, but we see that one was the righteous bride of Christ and was rescued before the tribulation began. Because in chapter 4, it's just telling you about the rescue of the church and the crowning of Christ. You don't talk about the coming of the Antichrist until when? Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 6. Then the seals get broken, and the next thing that comes out is what? The Antichrist. But John's already in heaven. And guess where the seven lampstands are? They're already in heaven. So we have been made some promises, okay? And to understand who promised you, you have to understand Scripture. Me understanding that the 5,708th verse of the Torah says that Israel is going to go back into the home that their fathers once owned, and they're going to be back in the land in 5708, and then 5708 being the year 1948, but that's the 5,708th verse of the Torah. But now it's also 1948. So then God already knew in Deuteronomy when Israel was coming back into the land. So what I'm trying to explain to you is God knows the future. He knows what's about to happen right now. And he wrote it in a book so you know what's about to happen right now. So he tells you to rejoice. And that's what I'm trying to explain. Now, when it says here, watch this. When Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, verse 4, it says this. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon them were seated. I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had crowns of gold on their head. The numerical value for crowns, what do you think it is? The same numerical value as the restrainer and spirits. So how is God making all the numerical values of what's going on when we get raptured a documentation of each one with the same numerical value in heaven? The holy strainer, 1,726. Spirits on a sea of glass, 1,726. And then it says, oh, and they had crowns on their head. Oh, that's the Greek word this. And it's Stephanos is the crown, and that numerical value is the same as the restrainer that's holding him back, that's going to take us out, the same as the Holy Spirit or the spirits that are going to be leaving. And when we get there, the same numerical values as the crowns that we're going to receive.
Oh, my God.
But see, the whole Bible is read like that. You got to understand numerical values. God is like, I'm going to write a book, but I want you to know that the person that wrote it is God. So that you don't stress about what the world is doing. There's one guy at the Red Sea going like this. This is going to be good. That's how God wants us to be. You understand? We should not be stressed out or running or hiding. Here, let's go to Exodus chapter 14.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. You're in Exodus chapter 14. And where did I put where I wanted to start? In Exodus chapter verse 10. Let's start here in verse 10. Okay. It says here. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, it says, they said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. That is the voice of many Christians today. Is Jesus a healer? Did he die for your sins? Is it documented that people were walking around and they were going to bury their dead, and Jesus walked up to the casket, laid hands, and the person came alive? Yeah. And we've been quoting all our lives, by his stripes we are healed. Mm-hmm. But don't go to church unless you wear a mask. How do you mix the two? Either he's God or he's not. So what is the fear of, first of all, if you have a pandemic deadly disease, they don't announce that you have the disease and you can't play football this week, but you're on the sideline talking to your friends. You have COVID. What are you doing on the sideline talking to your friends? You can't even play this week because they said you had COVID. Yeah, but I'm playing next week. As soon as it clears up. You, on the cover of that paper that we had this past week, did you see? I got it right here, Pastor Ben. Yeah, I think I have it right here. On the cover of Economy Magazine, right here in the end, this is the prophecy of the coming year. This is the prophecy of what's coming and what they're about to do. The first thing they show you is Pinocchio with a long nose.
A liar.
Economist Magazine is owned by Rockefeller. This guy here is a high-level Mason. This lady here is a lady who went through abuse, okay, but had a child, okay? All of these symbols that you see around here, they got Donald Trump over here, a man starving to death over here. So they got all of this stuff, and he got this guy with a blinder on, and he's got marijuana, he's got sports, he's got his cell phone, and he's got a scale that he can weigh himself against other people.
Wow.
And so
they're
telling you what they're doing. Okay, but let's continue reading here. Well, watch this. Let's read verse 13. And it said, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still. That's what God is saying to the church. Just be still. There's no need to cry. There's no need to panic. There's no need to send Pastor Sandy every scary video you see. If I watch them all, somebody have to come get me with a white jacket. I just lost my faith. I don't know. That last video did it. You know, it's like I have stopped watching regular TV. If at least on YouTube, I can watch what I want.
Right.
But you can't get yourself all wrapped up in this. What did Moses say? Stand still and you will see the deliverance of our God. Yeah. You're about to be delivered. Just stand still. You don't have to worry about. And he says, the people that you see coming after, you will never see them again. You will never see Obama again. You will never see Biden again. Once the rapture happens, you will never see Biden or Obama or any of the little Nephilim people again. This is your last time seeing them. God is going to deliver you. If you don't have confidence in someone who has made over 300 prophecies come true in the exact time and date that he said he would, who are you going to trust? God has done all of these incredible things. The Jewish guy that I showed, I said, I want to show you something in the Bible. He goes, what are you going to show me? He says, I hear you. I said, I hear you always talking about, you know, God just let the Jews die in the Holocaust and he didn't care about us. And the Holocaust isn't even in the Bible. And I said, I heard you say that. And I want to show you that the Holocaust is in the Bible. He goes, no, it's not. I said, so I showed him the book of Esther, right? I showed him the 10 sons of Haman. And inside the 10 sons of Haman is what you call jots and tittles, where God wrote the letters much smaller than the other Hebrew letters. In those letters is the year that this event is going to happen again. 1947, 5707, right? Now, watch. So he puts the year that what's going to happen? Haman tried to kill all the Jews. He was unsuccessful. He died. And then his 10 sons died. Haman's 10 sons died. He said, hang them all, right? Esther said, she said, what else would you have me do to him? She said, hang them all. Then she says, so they hang them all. Then they list the name of Haman's sons. But they put, Jesus says, this word will not pass until every jot and tittle is fulfilled. Well, a jot and a tittle is there. It gives you the exact year where somebody's going to try to kill every Jew and their 10 top henchmen are going to get hung. And it happened in 1946. And somebody said, oh, you said it was going to be in 5707. That's 1947. It's not 1947 till after September. Okay? So if, even though it happened in 1946, God knew that he couldn't hang them until after Rosh Hashanah, because that would be 5707, because that's the year he put in there, right? Mm-hmm. So in 1946, they were having a trial. And then guess who, how many got hung? 10. One of them committed suicide in the cell, so he couldn't get hung. So God is like, I'm setting it up where everything happens exactly the way I wrote it in Esther. I'm telling you the year is going to happen, and I'm telling you exactly how it's going to happen. And it's in the book of Esther. And from that guy, from me telling this Jewish guy that, he accepted Christ. I said, the same God that prophesied that event is the same God that came and died on the cross for your sins. If we can't trust God, this is why I'm like, my little brothers had more confidence than some people have. I mean, they would walk around with me as if I was Superman. And they knew, like, you ain't gonna do nothing to me. You know what I mean? It's like just arrogant little kids, like, sticking their tongue out at bigger kids, throwing rocks at bigger kids, and then running over where I am. You know? Because they had confidence that I was going to protect them. Who is God? I think that's the biggest big brother you can have. And he's promised you time after time after time in Scripture. The church leaves first, then the Antichrist is coming. The restrainer has to leave. The restrainer has to leave. And when he leaves, then the Antichrist will come. But not until the restrainer leaves. Who is the restrainer? The Holy Spirit. We've read about this in Genesis chapter 29. Eleazar was sent to do what? Find a bride for Isaac. And when he found a bride for Isaac, he lifted her up, put her on a camel, and took her back to get married, right? His name is Eleazar. In Hebrew, what does that mean? The helper. So God has always told you what was going to happen. And now we're here and we're not excited because we're watching too much TV and we really believe that a worldwide pandemic, there was not 10 million people in the last 2 weeks that tested positive for coronavirus. That's what they said on the news. What's the 1950s? Forget what year, 50 something, that they scared the whole nation telling them aliens were about to land.
Oh, yeah.
They did a movie about it. Yeah. People were going crazy. And they did not believe because they had proof that aliens were about to leave. Why did the whole world panic? Because the news said that aliens were about to land. They were all panicking the whole world that the whole world was about to come to an end because some guy was on the news.
It was a play.
Yeah.
It was a play that they thought was real.
And they thought it was real. Oh my goodness. And so they're just doing the exact same thing now. And they got the whole world in a panic. And now it's control.
Orson Welles. Thank you. Love.
And we're here. Yeah. So I'm sitting at home. I'm just so excited. You know, and I was talking to the Lord the other day. And one of my friends called me Sharon. She watches all the time. And I said, Sharon, you know what? We got all these days figured out. We got the feast days and then the moon and the stars. And I said, you know, watch the rapture happen on just some weird day that nobody expects anything. And we're just going to all land in heaven and going, what was that? That wasn't a feast day. The moon wasn't doing anything. What are you doing, God? You are horrible at this. If you want to be in the rapture club, you're going to have to get on board with us, you know? Because we think like we're coming up with all these days and we forget that God is the Father and he's going to call the bride. He's going to tell the son when to go get the bride, right? But we're so caught up in it, we forget that it doesn't matter if you're scientific prediction didn't come true. And I'm telling you, I've had some good ones. When I get to heaven, I expect to get an award for some of the really good ones I came up with, right? But that's not the problem. The problem is the promise is on. The blessed hope is on. The leaving before the tribulation is on. And you're standing in front of the tribulation. Yeah. So it's time to say, wow, I really need to get, if I don't get excited about anything, any date setters or any numbers or any moons moving and the Nubaru and all, if I don't get excited about any of this, I see tribulation standing right in front of me. And that gets me excited because I know God's promise that he's going to rescue us.
Yes.
And that's why Psalms 120 starts off, deliver me. Natsali from what? From lies. So he's saying, rapture me away from lies. Psalms 120 in 2020, the psalmist says, rapture me, deliver me, save me out of lies. I'm out of time, right?
Yes, sir.
I gotta read Luke 21.
Part 3 tomorrow?
Huh?
Three.
Right after I read Luke 21. Because this scripture, the Lord always leads me back to, because he wants us to know you're getting saved not from... See, this is the problem. It's like, what if we have to go through a little bit of it? That's not what God promised.
That's right.
What if we got to get slapped around a little bit just to appreciate? That's not what God promised. You understand? You got some people like they're so involved that they feel like, you know, well, we can't just escape everything. Yes, you can. You can escape it all. Luke chapter 21. Let me get, I'm here already. Okay. We're in verse 34. It says, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of this life. Don't let that happen to you. And I don't mean dispensation and drunkenness, because most of us aren't out drinking and doing crazy stuff. But the anxieties of life,
yeah.
God adds that to tell you, don't let this weigh you down and make you forget about Jesus. And it says, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the whole face of the earth. You hear that? And it says, be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape what? All that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Chuck Missler made me laugh the other day. He said, well, I'm going to ask this lady to marry me. Then I'm going to say, now, here's a big, beautiful ring. Now, I'm going to slap you around and beat you up a little bit, and then I'm going to come back and marry you. You know, it's like Chuck Missler has a weird sense of humor. But that is exactly what the church thinks. Like, you know, God's going to slap us around and beat us up a little bit, and then he's going to marry us. No, he's very much in protecting his bride to the point where he says that the gates of hell cannot overcome the church. You understand? So now that we're at the door, let's have confidence in God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.